The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the WrestleCast. This is episode 142, according to Donald. I don't know. Anyway, I'm Sam Kuinga, and of course, Don DeLorenzo, the Don of the WrestleCast, is here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 142, officially, of the WrestleCast. And yes, Sam, it's just not because I tell you, it's because I actually keep count.
I don't know. He might treat me one day and make up one, and I'm the jerk that's going to have egg on his face.
Promise you.
Okay. And with the, now can we call it a running thing or do a wheel in?
Yeah, I came in with the chair.
Okay.
I came with the chair. Literally. DD gang this bitch and double shot me, bro. I'm ready.
All right. So, live from the internet, the Twitter place, is Mr. I Walk Live, a.k.a. El Thin.
How you doing? Hello, everyone.
What a long time, man. I ain't talked to you in a minute.
Yeah, man. I think it was... WrestleMania last year?
It was that long.
Yeah, because it was the guy that does Beeritis was on here too.
Oh, and the bias? Yeah.
Yeah, he was here.
Right. Yeah, we had the super show. It was two parter.
Yeah. And then we kept cutting in the sound and he was mad.
God. I see you over there live tweeting those summer games.
Summer League, man, the Grizzlies they're undefeated right now. And I know it's Summer League, nobody cares, but most of these guys...
You have to get your basketball fix in somehow, right?
You have to get your basketball fixed somehow. And it's going around year-round, so I'm accepting all this love if we're getting.
All right.
This is not baseball, you know.
Hey, okay.
Whoa.
See, I'm about to meet you. Hold on. All right. So we all saw that mess that happened on Sunday, of course. And we will talk about that in a minute. But first, we have to get to some news. All right, the Mae Young Classic, as the participants have officially been announced. They had the Parade of Champions earlier. Now, was Binky the one in the red tights, or was she?
No, she had on black tights, sir, with like little red like lips on them, I guess.
Okay, because I'm looking at a picture here, and I don't know what's what.
She has a super long ponytail.
So who's the one in the
ponytail? Is what it's called.
Who's the one in the red pants,
sir?
You said you watched it.
I watched it like 3 hours ago. I'm sorry. I don't have that. Just to read all for you. Sorry. That might have been Vanessa Bourne. If she's light skinned,
she
kind of looks like Marty Bell a little bit with the natural hair. It might be Vanessa Bourne that you're thinking about.
Okay. So we have our list finally after all this time. It looks like Mia Yim actually got in. Like
she's in there. She in there.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to...
Well, this is how we'll do it. We'll start with the Black Girl Magic first, since we are the podcast. Okay,
I know like half of these names.
Okay, so we got, and the hashtag Black Girl Magic division of the Mae Young Classic, we've got Jade, who we're talking about, Mia Yim, Marty Bell, Bianca Belair, Vanessa Bourne, Nicole Savoy, and Aisha Raymond. So those are our six that we'll be rooting for, hashtag Black Girl Magic. When we do our Mae Young live tweet, we've got a poll going up between two hashtags, Forever Young Cast and Feel the Glow Classic. So you guys vote on Twitter. So when this starts on August the 28th, we'll have a hashtag.
Awesome. So let me just go through this real quick and see the ones that stand out to me that I'm kind of like, Miranda's in it. Well, she's garbage. But you didn't hear that from me, though. Let's see here. What else? Mia Yim, of course. Jazzy Gabbert, a.k.a. the Alpha Female. She's pretty big time, Dom. Ever heard of her?
No, I haven't heard of like most of these women. I've heard Jade, Marty Bell, Bianca Belair, Aisha Raymond. I heard of her. Vanessa Bourne, because she was someone else in NXT before they changed her name. So, you know, the NXT girls, Santana Garrett, Deanna Perrazzo.
Shayna Baszler is in it. She was PWI's Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, she's part of the MMA crew that's coming into wrestling. So, yeah, that should be pretty cool. I like, if you watch the Parade of Champions, they have a bunch of ladies and they all have different looks. You have some ladies who are very, you know, taller than other ones. You have ladies who are bigger than other ones. You have ladies who are more fit than other ones. So I like that it's not a cookie cutter type of deal. There's a lot of, you know, it's going to be a lot of different styles and a lot of different, you know, just visual matchups that'll make it really intriguing.
All right, so we have a bunch of great wrestlers here and Miranda. So that's good.
Oh, Kari Hojo.
She's going to win. Kari Hojo's going to win.
I don't know, man. What's the girl's name? Johnny Gargano's wife, Candice LeRae. She's pretty badass. She's got a big following.
I think my pick is Kari Hojo, unless they don't. No, didn't they already sign her? Did they sign her? If they signed her, she's the winner. That's usually how these things go. So, yeah, I'm really surprised at Marty Bell. Like, I didn't think she'd be in there.
Why wouldn't she, though? She's not with TNA anymore.
No, not because of that. I just didn't think she was on anybody's radar.
Oh, dude, she's one of the, yeah. Because you got to remember, man, Vince and Hunter, they do a lot of their stuff on the metrics of social media and marketing and selling stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? That's how Jade and Marty Bell and these type of people get on their radar, is because they got big Twitter followings. Like, I mean, Jade had a huge outpouring of support when she got let go from TNA, and everybody was like, oh, please come in WWE, please, 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 or at least get in the women's thing. Now you can be in the women's thing. Everybody was like, oh, it's perfect. You can be in the women's tournament now.
I have to be honest. Mia Yim is awesome and everything, but she's not the great of a wrestler. But that doesn't matter anymore, so whatever.
Yeah, but I know that's how she got into this. I'm pretty sure that's really what got everybody on her radar, because they were like at in WWE big time, like get her in the women's tournament.
Okay, so there's that.
Isn't it amazing how fans can be just annoying enough to get you hired?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes they listen, and then sometimes they don't. It just depends on, you know, if Roman Reigns is involved or not.
Oh, there we go. So, yeah, Kari Hojo is who I think is going to win. I expect a great outing by Jazzy Gabbard, a.k.a. the Alpha Female. Aisha Raymond also, like, I've heard of her. So, yeah, there's that. Mercedes Martinez, I'm really surprised at her, only because she doesn't do social media. And she must have got in just by word of mouth. Like, literal word of mouth. So.
All right, I'm team Bianca all day. That's pretty much all I got to say. Because I don't know most of these ladies. But I'm happy to see them be introduced. And see them put on a good show. Because I know they're going to kill it.
Yeah, except for Miranda.
I don't know who Miranda is either. So.
Yeah, nobody does.
You guys can go to YouTube and just type in Mae Young Classic Parade of Champions. And basically they introduce all the ladies. They get a chance to, you know, get in the ring and give you about a, you know, 25, 30 second kind of feel of who they are charisma wise. And then, you know, so it's just a roll call. Lasts for about 15 minutes. It's pretty cool. And you'll get to, you know, put the names with the faces. So I suggest that everybody go do that.
That's good that they didn't change up the format too much from the Cruiserweight Classic and how they introduced everybody and could really get people to latch on to the entertainers.
Right, right. Now, see, the initial tournament presentation is what they should, like, realize, hey, this shit works, and they need to, like, just stick with that when they decide to create a show off of it. Because I heard that that's what they're doing with the UK show. That they learned from 205 Live, that they're keeping the UK show in the same place it was. It's going to be presented the same way. It's not going to be changed altered in any way like 205 Live was from the CWC. So if they decide, I don't know what's going to come out of this, if they're going to have just a strictly women's show come out of this. But if they do, they need to keep it to a strict, you know, wrestling presentation. That's what the network is for. You don't have to sell anything on there. We already pay for it. So don't treat your wrestling like that on there. You know, just have it straight sports presentation, matches. You don't really have to shoot angles. Just have people wrestle, because we already paid for it. That's what we're here for. We're here for the wrestling.
Okay, so apparently Global Force Wrestling has suspended Mr. Alberto El Patron after some stuff allegedly happened. I don't know too much about it. I mean, I know enough, but that's their personal business unless he's smacking her in public or something. I don't know.
I think that's what happened. Apparently, this was all at the airport coming back after the Slammiversary deal or going home from the Slammiversary deal. So, yeah, apparently, allegedly, there's been accusations of domestic abuse between Alberto Del Rio and Paige, and that has caused this action by Global Force, which is bad timing because he is their champion.
Well, according to Paige, she was the attacker.
Do you believe anything that comes out of her mouth these days?
Yeah. But
it wouldn't be so bad if she had been caught, if both of them had been caught lying like at least 3 times in the past.
Yeah, but like you said, that's their personal business as long as it doesn't mess with the wrestling, and we don't watch TNA anyway.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to Missy. She was watching Impact with the with her own hashtag tonight. So big up to you. That's definitely a labor of love. I'm very, like I said, I tell everybody, when we started this podcast, we had a huge debate, like, which one is it going to be, NXT or TNA?
I still vote TNA, by the way.
I think I made the right decision.
My vote still stands. So anyway, yeah, Austin Aries was released by WWE and nothing of value was lost. Okay, moving on.
Man, what are you talking about? They just did him dirty. It was like...
No, from what I hear, he complained and complained.
Right. But just think about it. Okay, he got hurt, so he was doing good. He just had bad luck. He was about to do his thing in NXT, then he got hurt. Okay, so then it was like, well, we need something for you to do. So they put him on commentary on 205. So he started getting over there, then it was time for him to come back and wrestle. So they... Instead of taking him back to NXT, they put him on 205. Cool. He actually got 205, kind of interesting. And then when it was time to put the belt on him, they were like, nah.
I think a lot of it actually comes from like his Mania match getting put on the pre-show.
Right.
And
it was left off the DVD, which means he didn't get extra money. Right.
Wow.
So then he was like, okay, so since you obviously are not going to let me get my title run in the cruiserweight division, then let me go be on the main roster. And they were like, nah. So he was like, fuck it, let me go. And then Vince is always like, if you're unhappy, he'd rather let you go than keep you on the roster festering and being mad. So that's what happened.
Meh. Whatever. So.
But for everything lost, you must have a gain.
Nothing was lost. So Green Balls of Fire.
I know. The gain is Leo Rush got signed by WWE.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah, I completely forgot about the young man doing his thing.
That's right. The dude that you talked about like a year ago saying, yeah, hey, I don't know if you watched.
You were like, oh my God, please shut up. And then I was like, no.
It wasn't please shut up. It was like, no, we've never seen him, but okay, we'll take your word for it.
Yeah. This dude is gold. Like, I actually got to see him like wrestle live, and I was like, yeah, this dude's got it. And he didn't stay in ROH for very long. He was out of there really quickly. And he went to Japan, I think. Didn't he sign with NJPW? Because he was already out of ROH.
No, he was just independent. So he was just going all around. A couple of matches I saw him wrestle, he was in Europe, actually, wrestling, doing some shots over in Europe with Shane Strickland and AR Fox. So that was pretty cool. They wrestled the Young Bucks and somebody else. I can't remember who else they wrestled in their match, but yeah, it was a really fun match. But yeah, Leo Rush coming in, probably going to go to NXT first. I think he's like, what, 21, 22? He's pretty young.
Yeah, he's a young man. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah. He's 5'6". He has a warm, lukewarm future ahead. Yep.
Huh. Nah, this is like, see, here's the deal. As long as you can get insulated inside that Triple H bubble, when you get to the main roster, you'll be okay. You just got to make sure that you get deep entrenched within that Triple H bubble. Everybody that's in that Triple H bubble from NXT has done pretty well. All the girls are definitely his, so they've always done pretty well on both shows for the most part. Finn, he was the Universal Champion. He had bad circumstances happen to him. that kind of alter his course. Samoa Joe, now that, you know what I'm saying, they took a while to get him there, but now that he's up there, he's doing big things. So if you can get in that Triple H, you know, close inner circle, you'll be okay.
I hope that's the case, man, because I saw him one time on Evolve, and like Sam said, you said he is absolutely amazing. Just
oh, yeah, I forgot he did work Evolve for a minute, yeah. I almost forgot about that. All right. So are we ready for some great balls, some great big balls?
As long as they're on fire.
Oh, they're on fire, all right. So, live from...
Did they ever establish how many balls were on fire?
Oh, well, look at the poster, Finn. It's two of them. Two big balls on fire.
Okay. I've got big balls. She's got big balls. But I've got the biggest balls of them all. Shout out to Balls Mahoney.
So, are we doing the St. Oda pre-show? Because I didn't see this.
Of course.
Okay, so Neville
beat... Great Balls of Spire. I got you. Neville versus Tozawa. Hashtag St. Oda pre-shows. Cruiserweight title match. Tozawa hits a Shining Wizard, and he follows that up with the Atomic Senton Bomb, but only gets a near fall. Tozawa then gets crotched on the top rope by Neville. Neville kicks the ropes, then gives Tozawa a kick to the gut, and then, you know, after Tozawa had fallen off the rope, and then Neville makes the pin, and he retains the Cruiserweight title.
Awesome. So then we move on to the actual show in the Bray Wyatt and Cesaro. I think I watched like half of this because I came in during the middle of it. I know Bray Wyatt won, which is really surprising because he doesn't win on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seth Bray was on the floor, and Seth was kind of like in between pulling him back in the ring and kind of punching on him, and Bray Wyatt just reaches up and thumbs him in the eye. Shout out, give a shout out to Austin Aries because that was his number one move, and you know, Rollins, Bray gets back in the ring and he hits his sister Abigail and he gets the win. So one time for the Fireflies.
A good clean heel win.
That's right.
As long as it's a heel win, it's fine. Because it wasn't like he was just overpowered Seth or whatnot.
Well, I don't know. If you look at the match, he pretty much dominated Seth. And I thought that it was pretty smart the way that Seth wrestled his match, where he didn't really do a lot of his high flying moves, you know, in the match, yeah. Following the Cruiserweight match where they had, you know, a bunch of dives and a few good high spots. He kind of wrestled more grounded, and I thought that was smart.
I would just like to say it is well known that CrossFit Jesus is the second coming of all great things in wrestling. But I really don't need any more Seth Rollins suicide dives. I'm okay with it. I'm good. Leave that with the Shield.
Yeah, that's one move. The only person I really want to see do it and who does it where it looks like it's safe and it actually looks unsafe because he hits you with his head like a spear, it's Tozawa. Everybody else looks like, oh man, they're going to get hurt. But when Tozawa does it, the way he like hits you with his head first, it's like, oh, that looks like safer than anybody else's.
See, what I see with suicide dives is when you're playing with your cousins and you throw them in the air and you catch them, they just catch them. And then it's supposed to be like a devastating maneuver, but you just caught him. You didn't actually do any damage, you know?
Right, right. I think.
And then they'll like deflect the catch, so they'll land on their feet, and then they'll sail. And it's like, it just doesn't do it for me.
Uh huh. So next we had Enzo and Cass.
We just have hashtag please hit the Caruso interview with the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah, that. No one cares.
I know you won't show her no love, and we do have people out there who...
Oh, no, she's fine. Honestly, it's not even a gimmick. I honestly cannot have trouble telling her apart from the other one. Because they're both pretty brunettes, both Latina, and they're both suck at their job. So
wait, Charlie Caruso is Italian.
I'm pretty sure she's Cuban.
No, she's Italian. She has a post with her, JoJo, and Anderson's wife, you know, his hot Asian wife. And it said Dominican and Italian and an Asian together. So,
I'm pretty sure.
We don't care what you think. This is the truth. Our alternative facts does not work at CSPN. Okay.
I don't think that's right, but whatever. I'm not gonna go start googling stuff. Put your phone down, Don.
This is where Didi would actually be handy tonight. She would be our person who would be doing the Googles in the background.
Uh huh. Well, anyway, they're two pretty brunettes, and I really can't tell them apart. So anyway, so Enzo and Big Cass beat Enzo up the whole match, hit a big boot, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, because Enzo's shine came in the 7-minute promo he got before the match started.
Oh, God, that long-ass match he did. I mean, that long-ass promo. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. It was real good.
It's the same one he cut on Raw.
No, was it? It's well, totally different.
He used different words, but he said the same, he was pretty much saying the same thing. Like, I'm tough. I've been kicked down before. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, every babyface promo in WWE, he just got to dress it up, and he dressed it up really nice.
Yeah. So Cesaro and Sheamus against the Hardy Boys, Iron Man match, because we needed this, because, you know, we couldn't have the main event go longer than 6 minutes, but whatever. First pinfall, Sheamus pins Matt Hardy after a... So what kind of trickery was done in this first fall? Because it was kind of weird.
Well, it was like Cesaro charged at Matt Hardy, which made him, you know, duck him. He like tried to hit him with a clothesline, which made him duck. And when he ducked, then Sheamus just followed right in with the bro kick. Boom. Because Sheamus was a legal man. He started the match off. And they got the pin for the first fall. So it was real. So it was real
they saved cool this way to for Iron Man match. They couldn't do this in a regular match.
Well, it was a cool way to start off an Iron Man match so that the baby faces are instantly climbing uphill.
No, Sam's just talking about as in tag team strategy. In
a like they blew their, they basically blew their load on like a pinfall. Well, they could have just done this on a pin, on an actual match, like a one fall match.
Probably doesn't get the same effect in a one fall match as it would in an Iron Man match for 30 minutes, where you're automatically like, oh, nothing's gonna happen for the first like 10 minutes of this match. Is gonna make me care about it. But actually, when they jump started like that, it's like, oh, okay, well, it's on. Shit is on.
It was an attention grabber.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's still a waste. It was a waste of a good of a good surprise attack, I think. So then Sheamus pinned Jeff Hardy after a white noise and a diving neckbreaker. And the comeback started. Jeff Hardy pinned Cesaro after a twist of fate. Matt Hardy was counted out after Cesaro threw him against the ring post. Jeff Hardy pinned Cesaro with the cradle. Matt Hardy pinned Sheamus after a twist of fate. And so then what was the thing where, like, the wrong person was legal or something after the Swanton, or was that before the Swanton? Because I remember that. It was just kind of...
The Swanton
was he actually,
on to...
Was he actually not the legal man, or...
Yes, Sheamus was not the legal man. Cesaro was. So he Swantons Sheamus. Cesaro then, because, you know, whenever Jeff Hardy does a Swanton, he has that little moment where he has to recover because, you know, it takes so much out of him when he hits and lands. Well, then Sheamus just runs in and pins him right there, and that was basically the deciding fault. Because
strange.
Jeff Hardy hits his twist of fate and he goes for the pin, but the time expires before he gets the cover. And so Sheamus and Cesaro win the match, 4-3.
And you gotta admit, the last 10 minutes of that match was really good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was real good.
The first 20 minutes were completely boring.
Nah, it wasn't completely boring.
Not completely boring, but.
Because it was 3-1, and then they started coming back.
It was boring.
Yeah.
So Sasha Banks beats
Did you see the, this, did you see
the what?
The signing crowd that said the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
Oh, yeah, I did see. That was funny.
That was hilarious. Also, Cesaro needs to go into the Hall of Fame as his own tag team. Just him. Because he's had, what, 4 great tag team runs now with Swagger, T, what's his name?
Tyson Kidd?
Yeah, Tyson Kidd. This one was Sheamus.
And he originally was in the tag team at ROH. That was probably got noticed.
With KO, well, not yep. KO, but Cassius Ohno.
Cassius Ohno, yep.
So, yeah, man, that man, he just knows tag team wrestling. It's amazing.
So I guess at this point, he's like Bobby Eaton. He's a tag team specialist.
Yeah, you just said it.
Yeah, too bad.
When everyone wanted him to get his push to the main event, and I saw the talent in the ring, he just doesn't have that.
Doesn't have the E.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's why, like, Enzo is always going, as long as he like keep his nose clean, don't get in no legal trouble, don't get popped for no steroids, nothing like that. As long as he can keep his nose clean, he'll always be around because he got the E.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sasha Banks wins by count out against Alexa Bliss, 11:40. She did the arm spot again, which the commentators obviously don't watch SmackDown because or else they would have known what this was. So what did y'all think of this match here?
I thought it was a good match. I think they got amazing chemistry together. A lot of people are ragging on the finish, but I didn't have a problem with the finish.
Right.
And it was a good heel finish. And what else was? Yeah, the commentators, they really act like we have no memory at all. Like, you don't remember.
I think they legit didn't know. Like, I think they've never seen that before because they're idiots. Because they don't watch their own product.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they think everybody watches everything. There's like, there's no way everybody watches everything. So she's done an NXT before too, but you know, nobody, only 7% of their people who watch Raw watch NXT. So, you know, they're like, okay, there's a lot of, there's some things we can get away with, and there's, you know, so they use it when they can. Great Balls of Fire was a heel. It was a heel pay-per-view. So you know, it just fell in line, and it was like, hey, guess what? If you have noticed, this is how Alexa Bliss is set for the kendo stick match. This is kind of her MO, you know, in the first go-around with somebody. She's going to figure out a way to just give you enough to whet your appetite, and then she's going to get disqualified and keep the belt. Cool. Build it up, because would you rather Sasha win at Great Balls of Fire, or would you rather win at SummerSlam?
I don't think that's happening, but I'm okay, but, you know, if this was actually leading to like a no DQ or no countout match or something, but
it's probably going to based on what happened post match where Sasha Rollins are up the ramp.
You're supposed to do it. They'll just have a fucking Hell in the Cell for no reason.
Right. Well, that was just them rushing to put something out that had never been done before. But this looks like it's going to actually take the proper steps of Alexa and Sasha. They Sasha follows Alexa up the ramp, of course, after she's walking out with the belt. They get into it. So Sasha runs Alexa to the
LA. Very heel move, by the way. Heel tactics.
There's no such things as heel and baby faces. Haven't you realized that by now, sir? So runs her into the LED board, but then Alexa takes over, runs Sasha into the LED board, then slams her into the announce table. Alexa gets Sasha up to DDT Sasha through the table, but then Sasha gets out of it, knocks Alexa to the floor. Then Sasha comes off the announce table with the double knees, and basically Alexa hit like the bare concrete. That was a pretty rough bump, but it looked really good.
She's not going to need her knees later on.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Sasha got up there, and the camera started panning up, and I was like, okay, that's cool. They're about to fade to black. And then she jumped, and I was like, what the hell is going to happen here? And that child is extremely dangerous. And I won't say reckless, but she's fearless as fuck out there. And you got to appreciate that.
She's going to be this generation of lady wrestling fans. She's going to be their Shawn Michaels. She's going to probably be the absolute best wrestler in ring, but her career going to be short because she puts her body through so much stuff. Risk. Yeah, man.
But I went back and watched it, and it started out like with the double knees, but it ended up in senton. Like, it was safe. I was like, thank God she's not too crazy to go straight with the knees, because that's super dangerous with that concrete down there. But yeah, man, she is special.
Yeah, she is. She is. And like I said, and if you guys saw the Raw talk after the pay-per-view, her and Alexa Bliss, they don't necessarily like each other. I don't think they hanging out and catering together. I don't think they, you know, talking about geopolitical things in the back. So it makes for a really good match to have that little bit of tension in real life between those two.
Yeah, you can feel that static, and it just adds to the drama. So
right.
Move forward. Hate everybody. Like, I'm tired of these everybody in the back playing video games together. Smack somebody.
Hey, what are we talking about now? Because I dipped out for a minute.
Just talking about Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss not really liking each other. They're not, you know, as friendly as, you know, Sasha is with Bayley and a few of the other girls. And it makes for them having really good matches because you can feel that tension.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you see Raw Talk?
No.
Oh, man, Sasha Banks cut.
I didn't really want to watch Great Balls of Fire.
Basically, Sasha Banks cut the same promo that Young Littlefoot cut on Alexa Bliss about her not being a wrestling fan and faking a funk. I mean, almost like word for word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so The Miz with his Mr. Raj against Dean Ambrose. What did y'all think of this match?
Bo Dallas looks like the one man gang, modern day version of the one man gang.
The Big Lebowski? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like John Candy.
Not John Candy. John Goodman.
John Goodman, excuse me. That's the tank.
He's with the yell like Market Zero.
And for everybody who's wondering why he has on the black glove, that is an homage to his grandfather, Black Jack Mulligan, who wore the black glove.
Also, I think another reason he was dressed like that was because that's kind of how his character dressed in the Marine, something like that. So maybe he's trying to channel his character. What happened? What was it?
Say continuity.
Yeah, right.
In the WWE.
That movie was horrible, by the way. Don't ever watch that. I only watched it for being on you.
Somebody finds it entertaining. They keep making them.
Right? God, I wish you could find that one person who really, really loves these WWE movies. He has to be out there somewhere. Or she.
He's the one that's leaving all the reviews. And just have like 5,000 different email addresses.
Right? It's just Vince McMahon, when he can't sleep at night, just gets on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever.
The animated joints are pretty good. Like the Scooby-Doo and Flintstone ones have had. Those are pretty good.
Okay, so Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. They have a brutal match. They really go at each other. And then, but the match ends with tough ass Roman Reigns spears himself into the ambulance, and Braun shuts the door.
Yeah, they've really figured out that their chemistry works better when they just brawl. Like they had like on Raw, I remember like they had like a regular ass wrestling match, and nobody was into that shit. And then like the next time they just brawled, and that's when everybody was into it, and they were like, "Oh, okay, we got it."
So yeah, so Braun.
Those two should not be trading holds.
It should be no headlocks and holes like that.
Right. And like you said, they have amazing chemistry in such a short amount of time. And it's like a historical type of chemistry. It's not like you find two good cats to play, we're good in the ring together, and then they kind of move on, but then they come back and they move on. This feels like they could do this forever, and we not care that they keep doing it, you know? And probably because it's Roman losing.
Yeah. Let's see. Braun does the Nia Jax run into the post spot like a good four times, which is still funny to look at. But see, and then a sore loser, asshole Roman Reigns, he decides to. Someone actually counted up the amount of felonies he committed in this bit. He committed 10 felonies, including running away from a scene of a crime. Roman Reigns basically beats up. Is a very sore loser. He gets Braun and beats him up and throws him in the back of the ambulance. Throws the EMT away, which is also a felony.
Oh. The Gremlins got Sam again.
Doggone it. He brought up something good, though, because for Roman to be so confident, he's a shit loser. Like, a terrible loser.
Okay, what was the last thing y'all heard me say?
Are you counting up the felonies? I'm only counting up
the felonies. One of the felonies was when Roman threw the EMT. Yeah, you're not supposed to touch an EMT while he's in the act of helping somebody. It's a felony. Let's see here. Let's see what else. So yeah, he throws the EMT, takes the ambulance to the back. Simpson thinks about it for a minute, He looks himself in the mirror, in the side view mirror, and then just rams backwards and rams the ambulance into a post. And that was so strange to look at. And then Kurt Angle comes out. Roman Reigns runs away. There's a screenshot of him running away, which is another felony. He's just racking him up this time, today, isn't he?
Grand Theft Auto style.
Right. So they bring the Jaws of Life out instead of going around to the other side and trying to get out, instead of trying to pull him out of the other side, or instead of trying to get in through the other side. They bring out the Jaws of Life. I noticed like one of the, you know how like they had like girls like around? I noticed one of the girls was Jordynne Grace, who I actually saw in her debut match in the Indies back in the day, which is really cool. How she got back there, I have no idea.
LT, anyway. Local talent.
No, she lives in Philadelphia. She used to be here local, but then, she lives in Philly.
I'm pretty sure she might have been around.
Oh, God, never mind. I was going to say something rude, but forget it. So, yeah, they bring up the Jaws of Life. So what do you do when, like, there's someone who's just been rammed into something? You pull on their body. You pull them out. That's what you're not supposed to do. But, yeah, they pull on Braun. Braun doesn't want any help. He skulks away. And that's pretty well. Oh, and during all this, they had Heath Slater and Kurt Hawkins wrestle, which we never actually saw the ending of because they were too busy focusing on the stuff that was in the back. So they had a match.
Heath Slater.
So was that a double turn?
That's what I said, but then Don yelled at me. So.
No.
Yes. How could it not be? No, because on Raw, he came back out. He's just regular old Roman again.
Okay. He can be a tweener, though, but that.
Because
that
they don't see him as a. They don't. They already. If you listen to any interview Triple H has ever had since last Christmas. He always says, there's no need to turn Roman Reigns because the fans already think he's a heel because they boo.
Not like a dramatic turn.
But here's my
turn in the sense that Braun is no longer just like a monster, like a bad monster, but he's like a resilient monster.
He's a great colleague in Jesus Christ. No.
But you got to remember, Finn. You got to remember, Finn. If you go all the way back, it was Braun who did the dastardly thing to Roman first with the whole rolling him off the thing in the stretcher. Hold on. Rolling the thing off in the stretcher. Then him tipping the ambulance over, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So then Roman comes back. Roman busts up his elbow, right?
Retribution right there.
Okay, that's like the mini retribution, which was only supposed to be the lead up to the Extreme Rules match, which was supposed to be this big ambulance match there, but we didn't get it because Braun was hurt. So he only got like 10% of his retribution. So this was the other like 90 right here was this part after the loss.
Yeah, you know who does that? Who takes revenge from Extreme? Really bad guys,
psychopaths.
Yeah, psychotics, guys that run away from like a scene of crime.
But again,
Vladimir Putin.
Again, you guys see. Here's like what's like going on. There's this thing where as we get older, mm-hmm. we remember wrestling the way that wrestling was. True. The way it was. Hey, this guy came out of the dressing room on the left. We boo him. This guy comes out of the dressing room on the right. We cheer him.
The formula.
Right. They don't work with that no more. They just, hey, this is Superstar A versus Superstar B, and you do whatever the hell you want as long as you do something. Don't do nothing. We don't want you to do
nothing. Why is he just fighting? Why is he just fighting bad guys then? Why doesn't he go out and just fight whoever the hell he wants?
I think they're about to start. I think they're about to start doing him that way, kind of giving him the kind of Brock Lesnar thing, where hey. 6 weeks ago, this guy was a quote-unquote bad guy or a good guy, but now he's wrestling Braun and he's whatever the fuck you want him to be as a crowd. I think they're about to get that point to that point with Roman, where they're just like, hey, we're going to put him up against John Cena, we're going to put him up against AJ, we're going to put him up against Finn, we're going to put him up against Bray, and whoever you cheer or boo, that's just who you go for. There's no good or babyface heel for certain people, and he's definitely the person who gets booked that way. We want him to be our reigning hero and our conquering guy. So, yes, we give him the big spots and the big conquering point. But the disconnect is when he's doing all this stuff, everybody's booing it. So they just say, well, why fight it? We just keep booking him this way. They keep booing him. And he's a heel that just comes out on top every time.
Don, why don't you like, come out here every week saying, turn Roman heel, turn Roman heel. And now you're like, it's perfectly fine.
Well, what I'm going to say is,
what he's saying, though,
because what I'm saying is, it's not the fact that turn him heel, is that if the company thinks by the reaction he's getting that we already think he's a heel, then what they're doing is fine because the reaction he's getting is the heel reaction. And then they're saying, well, if they're going to boo him, then let's make him do all the babyface stuff. So the boos get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every week. Because they want to see him get his ass kicked, and nobody can do it except for Braun these like handful of times. So that in turn makes Braun default your babyface. It doesn't matter if it was fucking Jinder Mahal doing it to Roman. He would still be the quote unquote guy who's getting cheered in the situation just because it's happening to Roman. It's isolated to that one guy. It's isolated. This is what we're talking about, this shade of gray thing. And is he a baby? Is it a double turn? Is he a heel? Is he a pace? It's really a box around Roman. And they're just like, we don't want to make him a straight up bad guy. If you want to boo him, then you boo him. And we'll just work around.
Okay, but the shit he was doing was straight up evil, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no shade of gray around that. That's just a dastardly thing to do. Kind of black and white. That's like straight up, like in your face, like I'm a bad guy.
Talking about the Shield,
but then again, you know,
no, what he did at the pay per view.
Again, if you go back to the story, it'll be you know what, Braun did do this and this.
Have they brought that up yet? Have they brought that?
Well, they did because they went all the way back when they did the video package. Now, maybe they did not do a good job of that.
On saying, like, Monday. That's not how they're pushing it, though. They're just pushing it like, oh, he did this thing. Oh, well.
Right. Now, maybe they could have done a better job on Monday Night Raw going back and saying, hey, somebody could have said Booker T. You could have said, hey, you know.
Oh, don't count on Booker T to do that.
I'm just saying.
They kind of save it a little bit on Monday Night.
Yeah.
Kind of making it that he's bringing back the recklessness of Attitude Era.
Right.
That was his you know, response.
Yeah.
Y'all have done all these things in the past, but what I did is too far. Maybe this is just going to be the normal from now on for me.
Right. So, I mean, it's just like a lot of things with the modern wrestling. I've just come to understand that, hey, it's not the wrestling I grew up on. It's changing, and it's constantly, especially WWE, the whole dynamic of who is the quote-unquote fan favorite varies from every match. It's not like it was in 1986 where it was like, hey, guess what? My mom says this guy's a good guy and that guy's a bad guy, and I'm cheering for all the good guys. Then you turn 14 and you're like, you know what? The bad guys are much cooler than all the good guys. So then you start turning, then you start cheering for all the bad guys as a teenager, and you realize, oh, the bad guys are what makes this thing work. And as you become an older fan, they become the people you actually like. So then when you have kids, and guess what? Now your kids want you to go to these events because they grew up watching wrestling because you like it. Now you're cheering for all the bad guys because you're 40 years old, and they're cheering for all the good guys because they're 10.
Okay, so Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, what did y'all think of this match? It didn't really bother me either way, but some people were mad it was too short. Some people were okay with it. Some people were just angry. Some people were, like, blaming the Iron Man match. What did y'all think? Because I really had no opinion either way. It didn't move me.
I liked it because it felt like a fight. It didn't feel like a match. And I think that was the entire point of it, because you got Samoa Joe, who was the badass submission guy. You got the MMA guy, Brock, who's just, they don't play by the rules of, you know, normal wrestling matches. So Joe came out quick, hit him hard. Brock saw that with respect to Joe. So that was kind of telling for me. And then it was kind of surprising to see Joe have so much of the offense, but it wasn't like.
Yeah, that was kind of jarring a little bit. I'm like, I didn't expect him to get that much in.
But it wasn't like when he was wrestling Finn and he had all these different type of maneuvers and stuff. He was going to his bread and butter like a dog, you know. So it made sense because he's just trying to get Brock out there, and he knows that the Coquina clutch is going to put him to sleep. So eventually, but yeah, man, I liked it. A lot of people don't like the finish.
But well, it just took him 1-5 when it takes other people 3-4.
Well, yeah. that's the Stone Cold versus Rock WrestleMania 17 conundrum that they started that night that changed wrestling business, because before it was unheard of to kick out of anybody's finishes, let alone kick out of more than one. And so that was the first time they had ever done that. And so now, if you fast forward 15 years, when you see somebody get just one finishing move, you're like, this ain't going to be the end. There's going to be a false finish. And then it comes and it happens, and it's kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Go ahead.
I don't think people are paying attention to the match too much because, like I said, Joe's putting on the clutch religiously.
Right.
The story. He had to be tired. Like, he was exerting a lot of energy trying to put Brock away. So that 1-5 could be devastating, though.
And you have to say this. Another way that they could see, this is where if they had strictly wrestling people and more sports-oriented people and not, like, writers and guys who want to write, like, comedies and stuff. The whole point could be, you know, Brock has felt the Coquina clutch. Paul Heyman has felt the Coquina clutch. But Joe had never felt the F5. And, you know, Joe, it could always be Brock Lesnar, you know, by him being in it once, had kind of figured out a way to counter it, or at least not make it be where Samoa Joe could get it on him as tight as he did that one time, that, you know, on Raw. But without Joe ever feeling the effects of the F5, they could always build up that, you know, it was such a devastating, you know, he didn't understand the power of the F5 and it caught him off guard.
See, that's cool. We can say these things, but unless the commentators, which they do a shitty job with sound, except for what's his name, Corey. He's the only one that's worth a damn. But unless they actually get this across on TV, it's not part of the canon, though. I mean, we could say it all day long. Yeah, and I agree with you. But, like, unless they make this part of the canon, like, they say, oh, well, he was so devastated, you know, it was his first time taking the F5 that he didn't, you know, it just wiped them out.
Right. Right. And
that's where good commentary comes in.
Right. And that's a oversight that they that they're lacking right now, again, is because there's so much other stuff that they have to get in to these matches. Where, you know, we've gotten to the pay-per-view, it's the main event. They should, you know, try to build up everything to be as big as it can be and have a comment for why this happened, you know, more analysis as to why it happened, and let's just, you know, everybody's watching it. I saw him take an F5, but tell me why it only took one when, you know, sometimes it takes two or three for somebody else.
Yeah, like, I don't think they think on their feet anymore. I think they just, they go by the script, like, in their own commentary. They don't, you know, they don't make these things don't occur to them, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, on the fly.
Also, maybe kickouts are only for the big four, you know? Can't have you kicking out at F5 and Great Balls of Fire. Right.
SummerSlam?
I was going to mention that, like, that Rock and Austin match also brought in another era that I'm glad they finally got rid of. The whole thing where, like, everybody does each other's signatures, I thought that was sick. I really hated that.
The only place that belongs is PWG. Is it?
Oh, God. PWG. Yeah. Okay, so now, since we spent, like, an hour on the Great Balls of Fire, let's just, Don, tell us what you liked about Raw, if you liked anything.
Okay, I like Elias Sampson opening song, getting people to boo. He's got good heat. I think I liked what everybody liked, the Roman Braun, Joe Brock promo segment that felt oh so real.
They still don't know what they're doing, by the way, with that SummerSlam event. It could be a 5-way by the end
for all. Right. Right, and just the fact that I watched that again, and just the way that, you know, the guys weren't waiting for each other to kind of finish their lines. They were just jumping in, so it really felt real, like you would really be if you were arguing with somebody. And Joe's telling Brock, you know, look at him when he's talking to him, but we could handle the situation right now. Like, yo, I was like, I was so sleepy up until that segment, and then I was like juiced up at least for the next like 45 minutes, and then the main event kind of killed me.
Well, I was Baron Corbin on the screen.
Nah, man, it's just that second hour. That second hour was kind of slow, man. After the Mizzies and the crowd went wild for Bo Dallas talking about he deserves it, which was I thought that was a great touch. That was a great touch. People still Bo leave, man.
No, they're just assholes. That's all.
That's great.
Let's see, what did I think about this? I liked it, like,
oh man, don't ever doubt that.
I liked how, like, Matt and Jeff were kind of doing the broken thing, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What else? What else caught my attention?
Oh yeah, the revival attack. The revival might have broken Matt Hardy because that kick to the head was pretty stiff.
Poor Matt. Finn still trips me out with that. He still worries me when he does that coup de grace. He's gonna land wrong one day. Watch. Let's see what else. I think that was about it. Nothing really got to me, except for the whole thing about Angle and his mystery person.
Who do you think?
Everyone's saying Stephanie.
Yeah, I think so too. It's either that, or we gonna mess around and be like Charmaine gonna be like, Jason Jordan's our kid.
she herself had even talked about that on her Facebook, I think. So they might not be doing that after all. Because she posted the meme of like Charmaine plus Kurt equals Jason Jordan. She posted that meme and says, she said, I just had to. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I think it's Stephanie too. The Dixie thing is just people just.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, they do not need to put that lady on TV. Please do not. She was awful. She was awful.
And plus, not a lot of people would know who are.
Oh, in Nashville, they would.
Oh, that's where it's at, Nashville. Yeah, I think it's Steph, though, and then that's going to lead into something with Triple H.
Did you see the Kurt Angle documentary?
I didn't watch it yet, no.
Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty good. It was pretty informative.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I heard he got really, he got in-depth about his drug issues and getting found on that freeway late at night.
Stalking somebody he wasn't supposed to be stalking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a Tiger Woods situation. He was going on them pills.
Wow.
Finn, what did you like about Ron?
I have to watch that. I just like the promo. And Don pretty much covered all that stuff because Joe made it feel authentic.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Roman, he did good with calling out Brock's lack of activity and kind of butting in just being an ass to Joe. And then just that what made the Joe line so great was it was immediate. Like, as soon as Brock's eyes darted away, he's like, look, you're going to respect me, and I'm going to demand this respect. I'm going to beat it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the crowd by storm. And, yeah, man, I didn't think much of anything else. Well, the the Seth Rollins with Dean Ambrose stuff, that was kind of weird. I want to know where that's going to go. Even though we're kind of sick of Dean Ambrose, I'm glad to do something different with him.
Well, that's the Band-Aid. Whenever one or two of those guys starts, you know, or all three of those guys now since I'm on the same show, when they start kind of dipping a little bit, when they feel like people ain't caring about them, they always can go to this, and they know they can. So,
oh yeah, so you know, yeah, when you say there ain't gonna be no show reunion, I'm like, yes, there is.
Yeah,
yes, it will be. Because like they even kind of mentioned it at the MSG show. Like I was, Lady Nikki had mentioned it, or someone did. I was like, Seth gave a big speech because they were just chanting for the Shield, and she's. And he's like, I can't say anything, but all I can say is we hear you in New York. So it kind of gives an indication that it might be pretty obvious that it could be happening.
Right. So, you know, they know they got that big joker, so they just, you know, they just play it whenever they need to. And, you know, Dean Ambrose is the dude that's on the down right now, so what do you do? Oh, have him come help Seth Rollins a couple of times. Oh, have Seth help him, then have him help Seth, and then everybody's like, oh, they're going to see you coming back.
Just stop being so damn goofy and you'll be all right.
Well, like I put on Twitter, the thing with Dean Ambrose is this. I mean, it's a testament to just how durable he is and whatever, but I mean, he's been on the roster for, what, 5 years? He's never missed a match. He's never gotten hurt. Roman and Seth have gotten hurt and had to miss significant amounts of time where they could get off TV. People can kind of cleanse themselves of however they feel about him, and then they come back, and you're, like, refreshed to see him. Well, Dean Ambrose has never gone anywhere, so you don't get the chance to cleanse yourself of them. So there's nothing he can do besides not being on TV for like 6 months that's going to really make people care about him anymore. No matter what feud they put him in or who they put him beside, he's always going to be the one getting the least amount of reaction right now just because the people have seen it. They've seen it for, you know, 5 straight years.
I honestly think it's just how they've been booking him. Like ever since like Halloween, they've just been like he's just been this incredible goof.
Hey, you got the same text I got, right?
Yeah, I did. Kurt, what are you gonna do about this?
I don't know. I can't let this get out. Then again, I might have to go public with this. Oh God, I'm gonna lose my family over this. I hope they support me. My career could be destroyed. Next week, when I go public with this, I could be saying goodbye at the same time.
Look, Kurt, I don't think you're going to have to say goodbye. I mean, you're beloved by so many people, and you're respected by everyone. I have all the confidence in the world that everything's going to be just fine.
Really? I totally understand. Whoa, stop thinking that way. Why don't you come here next week and we'll both do it together? Neither one of us has anything to be ashamed of. I'm proud of you. And I hope you feel the same way about me. Yeah. So why don't you come here next week and we'll tell the whole world together. And whatever happens, happens. I love you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, at this point, I'll try to do my best quick rundown just what I like about SmackDown. Naomi had the whole belt glowing this week. She actually had the big plate part at the background that was lit up, like she said on Talking Smack last week. So that was cool.
Hey, what did you say about the pyro money?
All the pyro money is going to Pillow Time, baby.
It's going to that belt. Yeah.
It was cool that they started off the show talking about AJ Styles winning the U.S. title at a house show. So every once in a while, they'll do something like that. And I give a shout out to Lady Nikki as Sports Illustrated used her video as the first documentation of, yes, it was real. It went from a rumor to where I heard AJ Styles won the title to, oh, now we have video and it was hers. So shout out to her.
Yeah, like people, like places have used her video before without her permission. And it really annoys her when that happens. It's happened a lot.
And I thought the Fashion Files was probably the weakest one it's been, just because they were doing more with Mojo and Zach. And poor Sami Zayn just always keeps.
Oh my God! What the hell? What was that about? He's like that dude that you hang, that you know, like that you go out with your girl or whatever, and he's there, and because you're not paying attention to him, he's gonna talk some shit. Like I knew a dude like that back in the day. He was annoying. That's how That's how Sami Zayn was acting in this episode.
Yeah, so it was all right. I mean, the main event was pretty cool. You know, it's cool to see AJ Styles and Cena on the same team. Rusev, he looks like he still got a little bit of ring rust. Looks like he had a couple of, you know, his timing wasn't as good as it has been. But, you know, I'm pretty sure in a couple of weeks that'll be, you know, not an issue anymore. And he'll be back up to his normal self. So,
what's Rusev finish called?
The accolade. Yeah.
There's a meme of Rusev having Roman in the accolade and KO to his left talking shit, and Rusev having John Cena in the accolade and KO to the left talking shit, and it's like we're beating up all your favorite baby faces. So I that's pretty dope. What did y'all think about Xavier Woods and Jey Uso that match?
I was disappointed there wasn't no talking.
Like shit talking.
Yeah. I thought that was good. At least need to be. I mean, the rap battle was so good. It was so well received that I thought, you know, at least Jay would have came out and you know, gloated about it. But they just came out and just had a straight match.
But they lost though, so they couldn't.
Yeah, but by technicality.
Well, yeah, by ten. But yeah, see, that would have been the reason why they gloat though. Right. Because they would have been like, you know, your boy, your impartial, you know. Whatever Wale's title was, said the Usos won, but the social media and the streets, because that's, you know, that's the way you play that.
Jesus. And the cell block.
The streets are the
right. The streets in the in our Usos in the penitentiary, they let us know the real.
It was a hard hitting match though. It was real stiff.
Yeah.
What was up with Big E pulling Pudios out of his trunks? That was kind of disturbing.
He's been doing that forever.
At least the production assistant didn't take it though.
Yeah, she was like, nah.
Yeah, nobody ate it this tall.
That was like
the Budio's bukkake though that he does to the kids is hilarious.
So I put a poll on Twitter. Would you let Biggie shove Budio's down your mouth?
No.
The response was yes. 100% yes. I don't know who.
I wonder how many of the glow answered that question.
It doesn't show like who. It shows you how many. It just doesn't show who. It's an anonymous poll, Donald. Come on.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Like we have standards here. This is not the U.S. Election. Come on. There's no Russian meddling here. Oh, this is Lana, and then well. All right, so
What'd you like about SmackDown? Sam, what'd you like about SmackDown?
I completely forgot most of SmackDown already. Let me see what happened, because I just completely. I don't know. KO came out at one point.
Yeah, John Cena answered the AJ Styles US Open challenge,
and then Kevin Owens came out like And then at the end of the night, AJ and John Cena shook hands or whatever.
John gave him the rub.
Yeah, there you go.
I got your back, man.
I got your back, Jack. So
yeah, I thought SmackDown was very underwhelming though. I mean, the pacing was good, but nothing really made, except for like you said, poor Sami Zayn, and then the Nakamura Corbin kind of brawl. That was all right. God.
But that putting him in there against Nakamura really shows that Corbin needs some work.
I think Corbin's doing a very good job, man.
That's the thing about. That's the thing, Sam. That's the thing. Like, Corbin is good because he's not so polished. So it makes that kind of lone wolf, I'd never wanted to be a wrestler, is something I do just for money. It kind of makes that more into his character that he's not this polished dude.
I don't want him to be up there, Ric Flair. I just want to be able to sit through his match and not, like, want to keel over and die.
Well, that's a personal issue. Yeah, I think Baron Corbin has.
Well, you asked for my opinion.
Good matches. He's had some
entertaining things going on.
I also fell asleep. Did you want me to tell you that too?
His promo's getting a lot better. I like his cadence. Like, it's a real jerk ass type of cadence. And,
I want to beat him up. Yeah.
Yeah. You really.
I'm like, how dare you, you little jerk? Come here.
You really are an imbecile, and you just want to smack him in the face every time you see him.
Right.
And that is a real talent to bring out.
Especially in this day and age where those type of guys, you know, develop a level of cool to him after a while.
Yeah. And he's incredibly cocky. He's always been cocky. And now that he got the money in the bank, he's super cocky.
But like even on that 24/7 special, like when he was backstage and Kevin Scott Hall came up to him and was like, you know, I heard you're an ass. That's like, that's really him. And he's figured out a way to bring that onto TV, which is always a plus if a guy can bring himself, you know, in front of the camera.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Corbin, man. He got a bright future.
Yeah, me too, man. I've been a huge fan of Corbin too. He had a little rough patch there once, you know, some more better talent got in NXT and he was still so green. They got Finn and Joe and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn all came in there at one time. So it really pushed him back.
Yeah, at that point in time. He's only been wrestling for 4 years.
Right, so. Right. But that also it pushed him back in NXT, but it also made him better because that program with Joe, you could really see him you know, picking it up and getting better. And after that, he really took off.
Yeah, when you've been in wrestling less than 2 years, I don't think there's no pushback. You just got to simmer for a little bit and then and get all the spices together.
I mean, it's the same thing with Braun. I mean, Braun's taking the same path. This is like his second year that he's actually been, you know, wrestling singles matches. So, you know, you can see him getting better with his promo and his matches and little things that he's doing every time he wrestles.
Now, they're like on two different wavelengths. Like,
well, they're on two different wavelengths because they're booking them two different ways, I think.
No, I mean that Braun is, he can't be avoided.
You know? Well, he can't be a finesse player. He can't be a finesse wrestler. He's not right, that type
he can't,
of dude.
He can't just be in the crowd. Like Corbin can just be a wrestler on the roster, you know? You can't have that with Braun Strowman. He is a massive individual. But Baron is kind of he's been low key for the longest,
but
2 years.
But the thing about it is, though, I mean, Braun does have something to him because I mean, this is WWE. We've seen guys this big and this impressive for 30 years, and only a handful of them have, you know, made a big impression as he has. So it's just more than being big. Because if that was the case, Kurgan would have been the shit.
He's learning on the fly very well.
Right. And it helps him that he's had Big Show and Mark Henry just doing whatever they can and want with them to help him out. And they've just been like, you know, hey, don't do this, do this. You know, this is what, don't ever do that.
Right. I think he probably learned a wealth of knowledge on that Mexico tour with Undertaker and Kane.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, see, that's the thing. They've actually brought him up the right way in front of the crowd where you see him go from he's like probably the fourth best member of the Wyatt family to the squash matches to the two people to the three people to the four people to the okay, I'm done with these little punks, give me somebody worth a damn, oh, you don't have nobody for me, oh, I'll go find me somebody. And then he started picking on Roman, and from then it's on.
Yeah, then he just had this massive spotlight on him since then. And Baron is just he's got a little light. He doesn't have a big light just yet, but it's growing. It's still growing. And I really like how they're moving him along so slowly because he gets it, man. He really does.
And did they film the whole women's thing in one night?
I think they did. Like I think it's gonna be two nights.
Okay, because like I've already seen tweets like, oh, the women's tournament was great. And I was like, wait a minute, you saw the whole thing already?
I hope they don't do it all one night because the crowd won't be as good on those, you know, second half of those shows after seeing so many matches. Kind of, that's what 205 suffers from, as we'll get into kind of some of that right now. You know, if they did it before SmackDown, I think it would make the whole experience of it different when you watch it because the people would be into
it. Because they're married to that live thing, that's why.
Right, exactly. But, the only thing that really happened was Neville came down during the Tozawa and Daivari match and pulls Tozawa off the turnbuckle and beats him up outside the ring, puts him back in the ring, and puts the rings of Neville on him. And Corey did a good job of explaining that he came down and did that because of the loss on Monday night. And that's like the only like the second time he's actually lost since he's been in the Cruiserweight division. We had the pretty cool thing with Rich Swann. He beat up a jobber, and then TJ Perkins was like, oh, man, I thought you would have handled that a little bit easier. And he's like, I'd probably beat him at half the time. And then TJ Perkins wrestles the dude and beats him in like 28 seconds. So they're building up, you know, Rich Swann and TJ Perkins going back and forth, having a little bit of, you know, can you top this type challenge? Yeah, and then Noam Dar lost in the I Quit match. Cedric Alexander trapped his arm and hand inside a steel chair. Yeah, and then like stomped it like 8 times in a row until he said he quit. And then after the match, Noam Dar breaks up with Alicia Fox. He says that, you know,
he has women all over. Like,
yeah, he's the youngest athlete on the Raw and 205 roster, and he's got women know, like, every the city.
The way she was treating him, I think he just, that's just something you say when you bring it up with somebody, like, hey, because come on, look at the way she was doing him, and he was letting her. Right. He's a young kid.
I mean, he finally stepped up. You've been calling for it for weeks. So yeah, Noam said that he used Foxy to get attention, and now she's no longer worth the trouble.
Yeah, maybe now she can hook up with Sammy, so that, you know, at least he can stop being that dude.
Yeah, he might need a valet for this little program, because I'm pretty sure Maria is gonna be underhanded during this little program. So yeah, that'd be cool to get him like somebody to kind of watch his back.
Who's on the SmackDown? Which woman is on the SmackDown roster that they're not really doing much with?
They're kind of using all their women.
Right.
They don't have anybody that's like kind of in the shadow.
Unless they're on Raw, Alicia, they're not really doing. They don't. Really,
yeah, unless they like her. Decided to just bring out Summer Rae from out of the blue.
Oh, out of the shadows, yeah.
Yeah.
God, I completely always forget about her.
I mean, they got Raw's got like a surplus of women. They got Emma. They got Dana. They got Mickie James. They got Summer. So they got like 4 extra people just not doing nothing because they can't figure out how to book more than one interesting program at a time for the women, it seems.
So I heard that like they do these whole multiple women matches because they're easy and the writing crew doesn't want to spend too much time with the women. So they're just like, okay, just put them in this big match. Okay, we're done. Okay, let's do something else with the men.
Yeah, well, that's
it's kind of like it's a chore and they just want to get through it as quick as possible.
Well, that's the exact opposite of what the whole women's revolution is supposed to be about.
Yeah, I don't think they're following through with that. They need like a dedicated women's person, a writer.
Yeah, that's the reason why I was like, for the pay-per-views and stuff, and for these kind of bigger profile matches, that's when they really need to have Sarah Del Rey come up and just be the only person who does the women's shit. Like, Vince, Triple H, y'all get the fuck out the way. Let Sarah Del Rey work with the women in their matches for the bigger events, because the NXT women's matches versus the main roster women's big high profile matches is night and day.
Okay, NXT is a wrestling promotion.
I think it's because they only give them the main roster
is sports entertainment, sir.
But yes, you're right.
Because they give them like 6 minutes. They're like, okay, go do something. What the hell can you do in like 2 minutes?
Yeah, you know, wrestling is mostly marketing and. That's what mainly the Women's Revolution was.
Right.
Good night.
Right. It was all about catching on to a wave that was hot at the time.
I was looking at an article written about Stephanie McMahon, how she revolutionized women's wrestling, and I was just like, God, give me a break.
Yeah. You know how they write history.
Like, there was no women's wrestling apparently before Stephanie McMahon came along.
But I was going to say with the SmackDown and how they do their ladies, I kind of like how there's a championship opportunity, and then there's a fight for another opportunity, and then there's a championship opportunity, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's not really like, you know, on...
There's not any normal storylines. We're talking about the champ. Is there what you're trying to say? Yeah, it's kind of hot. It's kind of...
They've run the dual program. They have the championship match, and then they also have the next contender going at the same time on SmackDown. Yeah,
it's always been like that.
Right.
So that's kind of dope. I like that part. Even though sometimes they don't get enough time, like Sam says, but they usually get 2 segments, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, shit, they start off the shows.
They have 5 hours of programming. Come on.
On SmackDown, though, it's like the women are like a huge part of their show. It's like where on Raw, they're just kind of like, oh, you know, we had that one night where everybody was like, oh my God, it's 2.5 hours in. We ain't seen the women yet. What's going on? Did that segment get cut? And it's like, no, it didn't get cut. It just got put before the main event because they needed a cleanser match. But, you know, on the SmackDown pay-per-views, it's like, oh, first match, women's match, you know?
Oh, that was like at WrestleMania. Everybody was all like, it's like, they cut the women out. No, there's just going to be the refresher between the two main events. Calm down.
Right. Right, and people got to realize that they're on the network. They don't have time restraints like they have on USA. The only restraint that they have is they rent the buildings until midnight, and then they have to pay a fine if they go over. But Vince has got the money. If he needs to go over, he'll go over.
Looking at you tonight, I mean, there is zero ring rust on you.
Same like, with you, man. You, you know, can go away. You can come back.
We're not talking about me. We're talking about you.
I'm saying we're cut from the same cloth.
Oh, okay.
And well, we both go and we both grind and our heart beats for this. And I know that there is a sunset in the horizon. I'm very self-aware of what's going on. I'm not saying I can't hang anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm saying I know every day gone is a day closer. So I'm going to make the most of every day. And that's dangerous to those guys out there. That's dangerous to those guys who are trying to maybe coast to the next week or don't give their all every single time they step in the ring. I have always left it all on the canvas. But now, as I can see the sunset, I'm driven even more so to let every single person know that I still belong, I still can go, and I will still be the best.
Yeah, but come on. I really don't want to see another six-hour pay-per-view. Come on.
Well, prepare for that, sir. Because Brooklyn is coming up.
I don't have to watch any of it, sir.
All right, so we'll run through NXT. Shin,
I do have Lucha.
Oh, well, I was going to go with Lucha last, just because it comes up last. So, highlights. Highlights of the Gargano.
We're gonna say it was NXT.
But NXT gets a greater priority.
Nah.
Aleister Black wrestled a debuting Bobby Fish, and it was amazing. I think this happened. This is one of the later tapings of the taping because the crowd was really dead, and I don't know if they understood.
I really heard that this crowd sucked.
Yeah, I don't know if they understood what they were seeing, but it was like a really cool match. They were doing a bunch of like MMA grappling type of holds and kicks. But Aleister Black gets the win. He hits the Black Mass on Bobby Fish, and Bobby Fish does a JOB his first night in.
Speaking of Bobby Fish, I hear is someone else is actually had his debut at one of the later tapings.
Yes, apparently Kyle O'Reilly is on his way to NXT. Finn, what do you feel about Velveteen Dream?
I like Prince.
Yeah, now see, I'm glad that you said that because our friend David Dennis was really kind of upset saying that he thought that it was more of he was playing a gay character and he was doing it very offensively and lazy. And I kind of had the same thought that you did. I was like, well, his in-ring and his ring entrance, you clearly see the Prince / Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
So what he's going for. Now, maybe in the promo, he may be still finding his promo, and you know, but I didn't get that.
I don't get the gay
character from his ring entrance and that point of view.
He doesn't. Someone said he reminds them of Orlando Jones, I think.
Orlando Jordan.
Orlando Jones. That's a dude who looked like Beyonce sister Solange. But yeah, somebody said he reminds him of Orlando Jordan, and I was like, no, that's Orlando Jordan was like extremely over the top.
Right.
He's just a free spirit, but for some reason he can't be just a free spirit, you know?
Right.
He's a diva. He's Prince.
Right, exactly.
that's what I get.
I was gonna say no. Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, I don't get the extreme effeminate what they're trying to put on him. But if it comes out to be that, that's cool too, because he's very good in the ring, and it's probably like I say, once he catches on with his promo, he's gonna get the rocket too.
I like the way that like they're doing the promo where he's like where the little Kayla chick, where he's like, nah, you ain't worthy enough yet. Oh, your hair is busted. Fix your looks. And then then she catches him this time, and he's like, oh, I didn't recognize you because she fixed the looks. But now it's like, no, it's the wrong setting. Does this look like the proper place to interview me? Nah. And then she's like, well, a bunch of the other wrestlers have interviewed. As he's like, see, that's where you got this shit twisted. I'm not these other wrestlers. I'm the Velveteen Dream. And then he walks off. It's like, yeah, it works. He got that cocky.
And the way you just said it, I don't know why, but I thought of Dusty and how he was just extremely sure of himself and yet dismissive of people who fell below him. So he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get Drew McIntyre versus Killian Dane.
Before you move on, I was going to mention Ultimate Warrior's last televised match was against Orlando Jordan in 2008. Just a little fun fact.
Yes. Wrestling trivia from Samuel Kalunga. Vanessa Bourne, yeah, hashtag creepcast. Sanity and Drew McIntyre. So we're going to get Big Damo or Killian Dane versus Drew McIntyre next week for the right to face Bobby Roode at TakeOver Brooklyn. So that should be pretty fun. Johnny Gargano came back. He cut an in-ring promo. Basically said he didn't know why Ciampa turned on him, but he can't look back. He's got to move forward. And so he's going to try to move forward with trying to be Johnny Gargano and Johnny Wrestling again. And then we had a really fun match between the Heavy Machinery and Authors of Pain for the NXT Tag Team titles. What I took out of this match, as Authors of Pain thwarted the trash compactor, they hit the last chapter and they won, was that Lil Otis, open my eyes, man, he can go. He was tossing around Authors of Pain. He was no-selling clotheslines. I mean, he really showed out in this match. He was probably the star of the match. And then afterwards, Sanity basically comes out onto the ramp, and pages from the Book of Pain start falling from the sky, and they basically start, you know, ripping them up. And that was kind of your NXT for this week.
Awesome. Finn, I just want to reiterate that Bobby Fish is so good, like amazingly good in that ring. And him and Alistair Black put on a good show. What's the? Mine just went blank. Oh yeah, it was a great reintroduction with Gargano.
Mm-hmm. And,
he's going to be like a top baby face there.
He might get, if things shake out and enough people get moved up, he might get a title run with NXT belt.
Yeah, he might get like a beloved type of run with that title, and he's going to be like a marquee for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to build shows around that guy.
Mm. Yeah, and then
has the Authors of Pain just got ridiculously good over the years, or over the year?
Well, I mean, when you've wrestled DIY and a Revival, you better get better real fast. But yeah, they have definitely gotten to the point now where they're entertaining to watch.
Yeah, because at first you would watch the match because you want to see how they would work with DIY or the Revival, and now you just want to see what type of destruction they're going to bring to the ring. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, good stuff. Sorry, Sam.
It's okay.
He watches. He's just.
I really do not. I really don't have time to watch it. Nor do I want to. But so anyway, Lucha Underground. So we had a stabbing in this show. Did you see it?
Yeah, man, we had a rough segment there at the final, man. They harassed my girl. My girl got involved. So
you were ready to jump to the screen, weren't you?
Yeah, man, I was cheering though when she got involved, and you know, but yeah, but Marty the Moth needs to go back and watch some New Jack because he didn't create as much damage.
He needs to watch some Abdullah the Butcher. That's what he needs. go old school. So yeah. Or who was the other guy? Who is the one dude in Memphis who would just like, he used to wrestle Terry Funk a lot. He passed away like years ago. No, not Bill Dundee. No,
a blood guy?
He was a blood guy. He would hit you with a, he would stab you with a pencil.
Oh, I have no idea. Sorry.
Okay. It'll come to me later on. Watch. So yeah, first we had Sammy Callahan against Taya.
Which is Jeremiah Crane, sir. Jeremiah
Crane. Callahan, come on. I refuse Crane. To call him that.
Gimmick infringement. That ain't right.
Well, it'll be gimmick infringement to call them Solomon Crow. But. Eddie Gilbert. I think it was Eddie Gilbert who used to stab people with pencils in Memphis.
Okay.
So anyway.
I didn't know Hot Stuff was such a... Now, if you would have said Eric Emery, then that would have made more sense to me.
I used to open freaking magazines because like they would do a lot of house shows and stuff like that. I would open up magazines and like there he is gouging out some other dude with a pencil. And I'm like, that's disturbing. So, because of that, I always assumed he was nothing but a hardcore guy.
That sounds familiar. Like, just stabbing somebody in the eye.
Yeah, he stabbed somebody in the eye with a pencil, and it was right there in front of me as a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah, so, anyway. No idea. But I feel like I've seen that in the magazine before.
Yeah, it was like the first thing in like it's like an old PWI from like 1994. Open it up, and there it is, right there.
Yeah.
Just blood gushing everywhere.
The good old days.
Yeah, right. Some real jukes, right? So yeah, Sammy Callahan against Taya. He actually beat Taya.
Yeah. Cranium contusion. Got the win.
Yeah, sure. So Phoenix was training in the gym. Arrow Star, a.k.a. Ghetto Iron Man, enters and starts a conversation that leads to them lamenting about Drago's heel turn. Phoenix felt that Drago would eventually turn on the Reptile Tribe, like he did once before, Aerostar has his doubts. Let's see here. Mil Muertes with Katrina defeats Paul London to advance in the Quino Cup. Some stuff with the White Rabbit Tribe. Let's see here. So Katrina...
Oh, of course. Right when Katrina gets ready to give Paul London the kiss of the lick of death to make the victory complete. Then we get Tejano and Brenda in a bar, and Brenda is trying to get Tejano to join her and Famous B. So she's putting the moves on him. She called him boring. He took offense to that and basically was like, there's one thing you can call me, but you can't call me dull. And so Famous, then they cut over to a guy in the booth wearing a cowboy hat, and it's Famous B. And he basically does the like real man sign. So he's trying to get closer to Tejano
using Brenda. What happened?
Huh?
What happened?
You dropped out again.
Well, dude, you gotta wait for me. You can't just keep going.
No, I just kind of just filled you in right there.
Okay, I was asking Finn, would he take an ass whooping from Mil Muertes to get the lick of death? He's thinking about it.
No.
It took too long. It should have been a yes.
No, that's painful, bro. Yeah, not just to get licked on my face while I'm passed out. No, I'm good. Excuse me, knocked out.
Well, you can pretend that you're knocked out. You can be like awake, wide awake the whole time.
You said, will I take an ass with a meal?
Yeah.
That's the only way you can get the lick is you got to get the ass whooping first.
Well, you can pretend to be knocked out, though. You can be like, okay, I'll take the ass whooping and, you know, play possum. So you'll stop and just pin
me. I'm sorry. Getting punched in the face by the most dangerous man on Lucha Underground? No, thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, so Katrina gave London the lick of death. So, in a bar, Tejano is drinking beer when the woman who makes just as much money as the man approaches him. She starts flirting with him. He buys her a drink. She went on to call him boring and dull. And he's angered Tejano, and he shattered a bottle by squeezing it with his bare hands. And Brenda was suddenly impressed, and she told Tejano all he needed was a woman's touch. And in the background, your boy Famous B is just, like, looking on. There's a lot of leering in this show. Remember how we mentioned this last time, Don?
Mm-hmm. So who's doing it better, Famous B or Titus?
Probably Famous B. I don't know. What do you think?
I would have said Famous B, maybe, like, when it first started, but I think Titus is overtaking him.
Okay.
Finn, okay. you got a vote?
I honestly don't know who Famous B is.
Oh, okay.
Good. Keep it that way. Because you know what I
mean. Well, I got to find out who it is now. Sam hates him.
I also hate, no, like, the thing with Brenda is that, like, she literally makes as much money as the wrestlers, and she does nothing. I mean, maybe her role might have improved, but at first she was literally just a valet.
Valet's a performer, too.
She's a mover and shaker, man. You don't know what type of deal she's making in the back.
Right.
So she has a secondary backdoor deal, right?
Valets have to travel. They have to get dressed. They have to...
What traveling? Yeah. They're in the... Come on.
Wherever she's coming from, she's got trans.
I guarantee you she lives down the street. So Phoenix and Marty the Moth Martinez... have a match.
This dude.
So, yeah.
What about the pulling out of the sandwich out of his damn lunchbox, and then when Melissa is announcing his name, he put the damn sandwich in her mouth?
Well, you know, he figured she might be hungry. She's been, you know, doing. She's been working.
Foul. A lot,
you
know. That's so foul. That's foul. You know, she gets a lot of stuff, doesn't she? Melissa Santos as the foil or whatever.
Yes, just from these two though. What? And sometimes Eva Lise.
Sometimes.
That
one time.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They know better than the fuck with Eva Lise. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's your boo.
The baddest bitch in Lucha Underground. I quote.
Right? Yeah.
That's how Sam likes him. Rough around the edges.
Yeah, you find me an Eva Lise and I'm good. So as they begin doing their match, Mario Puzo interferes. It allowed Marty to gain an early advantage. Phoenix fired up and did a running flip dive to the outside. Mariposa interfered again, allowing Marty again to dominate. He ripped at Phoenix's mask. When Marty rolled back into the ring, Mariposa again attacked Phoenix at ringside. So Marty gets the heat on Phoenix, shining him up for an eventual comeback. When Phoenix rallies, he got a near fall after he leapt out the top rope with a double foot stomp. Let's see. More stuff. Let's see. So Mariposa goes to throw the lunchbox in the ring when the Santos gets involved, because of course she's, you know, linked romantically with El Phoenix. So she blocks Mariposa from throwing the lunchbox in. Meanwhile, Phoenix counters Marty to roll through and cradles him for a pinfall. So then Marty attacks Phoenix after the match, and he grabs the lunchbox. Marty ate a few snacks from the lunchbox before snatching a fork. And he goes and does his thing with the fork, stabbing Phoenix. And So Phoenix is bleeding as Marty pulls a hell of a Melissa Santos and made her watch. Marty kept stabbing Phoenix with the fork. Santos begged him to stop. Marty sadistically licked blood off the fork and he yelled, "This is for you." And Marty also told Santos that he loves her. The crowd chanted "creepy bastard" as they always do, and the show is over. That was a pretty good exchange at the end there.
As a good heat spot because, you know, everybody loves Melissa. Number one fan right here. And
Mellow Melissa.
Damn it, Marty and Mariposa definitely have my pressure up.
Would you say that Melissa is the biggest baby face on Lucha?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. At least in my eyes, anyway.
She's actually done a lot. Not that she was ever bad, but she does her thing now. She knows what she goes out there and she does it.
Yeah, she's got her confidence about her. Same thing with JoJo. You know, JoJo was a little shaky when she took over for Brandy there for the first, you know, month or two.
I always thought she was solid when she was doing that. When she was interviewing, she was bad because they're all bad. But like, I always thought she was solid at ring announcing.
It's always
she did flub a couple of times.
It's always hashtag say yes to JoJo here at the WrestleCast.
Right, but no, yeah, Melissa, she does. She knows the names well. She does. She puts a little oomph in her announcing.
Mm-hmm.
She's going places. Robert Rodriguez better watch out. She don't get snatched up by another bigger promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she turn down WWE already?
Did she?
I don't know. I didn't hear about that.
Soon, I tend to say other people's personal lives. despite what you heard.
No, I heard that they ain't giving her a contract to leave Lucha.
Maybe, yeah, well, she probably has a 7-year deal all the other dudes. But no, I could seriously see someone like her, maybe I could actually see Dario being the Raw GM. If he went the way he is now, if they went over there they tried to mess him up and make him look out to be a geek or something, or a Mick Foley, then yeah, no, but if the character he is now, the Dario that he is today, I could totally see him being the heel GM in Raw, on Raw.
Hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years, that whole GM whatever thing, somebody erases that and we just get back
sir.
Hey, here's our booker, here's our matchmaker, championship committee or something like that, and not have it be some guy that's going to come out here every time and, oh, we're going to make a match. Ah, it's got so played out.
Oh, you Donald. Yeah, that's not happening. Come on.
But Donald, earlier talking about how wrestling has evolved, now you want to go back to the formula.
Yeah, Donald, it's not 1985, Donald.
Now, some things need the formula, but as far as the wrestlers and the perception that the people have, then yeah, that formula's blown up. But some of the little trigger things like that, though, yeah, hey, guess what? Instead of having a rematch of the tag team match on Raw, the women's match, they turn into a handicap match that the person at a disadvantage won, and y'all gonna have us do the same match again? How about have all four of these ladies wrestle individual jobbers?
Right. I mean, I think part of why it was done back in the day of why people cheer the heels because they're cool. Heels are cool to cheer. Now it's more like a thing where I know this person's not a real asshole in real life. Like I engage with him in social media. That's why I like Kevin Owens. He heals it up even on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you got dudes who are heels, but then like Faye was saying, tired of them backstage, you know, playing video games or whenever they have a match, and then so and so and so and so has a match, and then later on Instagram they're doing selfies together.
A perfect example of that is Rusev, because Rusev's supposed to be this big anti-American heel, but he's the most engaging and charismatic guy, when he's not in character,
so. Right.
That was a legitimate movement for him to be to turn babyface. That was crazy.
Yeah, I want to see him actually squash some bad guys. That's actually how we saw that Big E had a personality. Because remember when he was coming out with Dolph and AJ, that dude was just but then if you engage with him on social media, that dude was funny as hell. And I'm I want to see that Big E. Eventually got that Big E with New Day.
Yeah, we get it every week. Thankfully.
Right, because that Big E was great.
I still say, man, Big E could be the champion.
I used to think that, but now I don't know. I kind of see it for Xavier, though.
It wouldn't take much at all to reprogram Big E into like a little bit more serious mode and have him go for the belt. It wouldn't just have him kind of break away from New Day, not break up, but just kind of, hey, you know, odd man out here.
Kind of like how they did Naomi when she first got her title shot. Have him win like a battle royal,
mm-hmm.
like on his own. And then like, you know, the brothers, the New Day is just like, man, go on, go get that title. You know?
Right.
There you kind go. Of like how, that's kind of semi how they break up about really.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could totally see that because that's what they did to Naomi when it was her and Cameron, and then they had her win that battle royal to get a title match against Eve.
I want Kofi to get the championship. I just want him to complete all the championships he's won, and he just need that big one and put that on his wall. And I think Kofi could be like a legitimate main eventer.
Possibly.
Actually, all three of them can. Like they're extremely talented guys, man.
I think Kofi's time has passed though because this is like 5 years ago. I saw him as like a big. That's like a big deal.
I mean, also, I think the transition to champion thing, he don't need to run.
also, I think like just the goofiness of the New Day kind of makes us not see them as like serious contenders, like singles.
Yeah, even though they are solid in the ring, they're entertainers now.
Yeah. So, like, before we leave here, so like the idea has been thrown out lately of like a women's Royal Rumble. And of course, it would just be everyone on the roster plus like some surprises, like some old school people or whatever. I kind of wanted, if they ever do this, I was telling Paige Turner this earlier. If they ever do this, they have to have at least for one night, for at least one five second spot, a Funkadactyls reunion.
No.
And then like Cameron dumps Naomi out the ring. And then,
oh, nah. You know, I'd rather see Kong than see Cameron.
Oh, no, she's never going to, you're never going to see that again.
Well, yeah, she's a big time, you know, actress.
Well, not because she's just big time, just because she has a lot of heat with a lot of places, burned a lot of bridges.
Yeah,
I'd rather see Gail Kim. Yeah,
oh, she retired.
She's about she is retiring, or she did retire.
She retired.
I'd still rather see Gail Kim.
She has a bad back.
Her run in WWE was so short. She was so good, but she just never got her real chance.
Yeah, especially after she went in, like did big things in TNA. Like that was when she was like fighting Kong all the time and was having those like 5-star matches. And then she goes back to WWE and she's just another gal on the roster. That's why she left. She was like, "Eh, I'm out."
She pulled Austin Aries.
Yeah, so unlike Austin Aries. So. If he's going to go back to ROH or if he's going to go to Japan or...
I think he burned that ROH bridge as well.
Oh, sorry, GFW?
I think that's... No, wait, did he? Did he burn... No, he didn't burn GFW. Besides, it's a new administration anyway. So, yeah, you'll probably see him in Japan or GFW.
Oh, good luck to Austin Aries. He took a nasty Kinshasa from Shinsuke for his troubles here at WWE.
Speaking of Austin Aries, young Thea Trinidad, she's... Going to do in the Cianomas little sister thing, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. That was a couple of weeks ago. She ran up on him and was yelling at him, and they just kind of walked out of the performance center, but they haven't followed up with it yet.
Ah, ooh, what are you talking about?
It was during one of those iconic, you know, videos where they're like in the performance center messing around, and then in the background, seeing Almonds walks in the background, and then this girl walks up and she is like giving them the blues, and then they run over, the camera runs over there, and they're arguing, and then she just storms off.
There's two more women I can't tell apart.
I didn't see that. The one I saw was he lost the match, and then he was walking out with two girls on his arms, and then she came up and started yelling at him, and then he was like, "I don't care," but not out loud, but with his face.
Yeah, that was like a couple of weeks before the incident I'm talking about.
Oh, so they have okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but they've never come back to where she introduces herself as to why she's, you know, always around and why she's so upset with him.
Mm. And she's an annoying little sister.
That's gotta suck for her though to be in NXT and you're there with your man, and then all of a sudden he get mad and be like, "I want to be gone," and then you still got to be there.
It'd be messed up if she was like, "Well, I'm leaving too." No, I don't think she would do that.
Nah, because
she's made of tougher stuff than that.
Right, and you don't want to burn that bridge with The Rock. Because, you know, she's... She's playing. She's in the movie about Paige.
You didn't talk about that.
You know, that's the only reason they haven't let her go yet, because it would make the movie look bad.
Oh, Paige.
Yeah.
Yo, Don, you didn't talk about the Street Profits vignette on
Yeah. I didn't put it in my notes, but I meant to bring it up. Yeah, NXT, they had a little vignette of Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, and they're going to basically be doing like a reprise of Prime Time, but it's called the Street Profits. Why? Because it's entertaining as food. They had like some kind of like world star type looking like videos for their vignette, like some cell phone type video. So it looks real fun. So do some Instagramming and look up Street Profits. And
I know that guy Montez is always going to have a red cup with him.
Yeah, the pimp cup. And he does the damn, I don't know what that is, before the match when they're introducing them, and he does that little shimmy he does. But yeah, they look really fun, man. So I'm definitely here for Street Profits coming to NXT.
I'm looking forward to it too, because I'm glad that Angelo Dawkins is getting something. Because he's got some talent, and he's always been entertaining to me, and had a real stiff jab. So
he's the Black Ty Dillinger. Like, him and Ty Dillinger have been there like the longest, and Ty Dillinger finally got something, and it didn't take him long, and he moved up. So hopefully that can happen to Angelo too.
What do you think about Ty Dillinger and the Miz Twitter feud?
Too bad they can't pay it off because they're on different brands. But again, it's entertaining. The Miz is very good on the microphone, on Twitter. So, you know, and Ty got a couple of good jabs in there too. You know what I'm saying? So it was, I say the Miz won just because you kind of lose points when you start bringing in the wife. You know what I'm saying? That's, it's one thing to talk about, hey, let me wrestle you for your championship and blah, 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 blah. But then when you start bringing in the wife, I start deducting points.
He panicked. He couldn't think of nothing real good about being in a dark match. So he was like, well, you know, I do some good, your wife knows what I do good in the dark. Oh, come, you can't get baby face, dog.
Yeah,
can't,
man. Yeah.
No, thing
for him is he better be glad he's on like a different, totally different brand, because he would be shit if he was on Raw right now.
Yeah. I guess with feet into the Miz.
I think we need to start wrapping it up. You don't mind. Our guest of honor here, Mr. Finn, why don't you go ahead and give your shout outs?
As always, shouts out to the Patriarch, the Godfather Classic, for all his hard work, what he does in all these shows. Shout out to DD, she's not here. It's still DD Gang and his bitch. Double shot me, bro. And shout out to Don Victor, the fraudulent Don. Always talking shit. That's my guy, man. He's a good guy. And just shout out to the whole community in the WrestleCast, man. We do this thing big with in our hashtags, and I enjoy each and every one of you and your personalities. And that's what I got.
All right, Don, your turn.
Oh, man, I'd like to thank Finn. He was our first guest, and he has been the guest that has shown up the most. So big shout out to him. He was the one guest that Classic was like, nah, he'll never do it. And now look at him. He's our most famous and most recurring guest.
Say famous, because, you know.
I actually knew of Finn way before I even knew he was in the wrestling. I would always see you retweet. It was years ago, dude, like when you first got on. This dude's funny.
Mm-hmm. You famous. Thank you, sir. Give a big shout out to DD. We are all DD Jone guys. Talk to her next week. Give a shout out to Sam. Shout out to Classic. Shout out to everybody putting up content on CSPN. Give a big shout out to Amazon.com for sponsoring the show. Please visit CSPN.us. Click on the link that says sponsors. Click on Amazon, do your shopping, help support the podcast. Like I said, vote on the hashtag that we're going to use next month for the Mae Young Classic, for the women's tournament, for the live tweets of that. Next week, we will be previewing playing Who You Got for Battleground. And hopefully Jinder Mahal beats the shit out of Randy Orton on this upcoming SmackDown in the Punjabi prison. I think that'll make everybody throw their fist up.
I'm ready to celebrate to that jam. That's my jam right there. The Punjabi music that comes on. Oh my God. That's my shit.
Theme song, because that's a club banger right there.
And I knew, like, when the bass is so crisp and thick like it is for Jinder, you know he has to be a heel. This is only option. basis. too authentic for him to be a good guy. Even though he's like, again, he's another one of those guys who's a real bad guy, but social media, he's a real good guy.
One more note, because I don't know if I'll remember, and you guys probably won't hear it before it actually starts, but on the 17th, the G1 Climax starts, New Japan. They're going to have the first night for free on YouTube, New Japan World. It's going to be Naito versus Kota Ibushi in the main event. So you guys check that out. Get a taste. If you really like the G1 USA specials from a couple of weekends ago, check that out, because this is going to be the actual real deal tournament, and it's going to be a month of just some of the best wrestling you'll ever see. So check it out while it's free.
Hey Finn, yeah, I heard that like people that like run into Jinder Mahal like in the streets or at the mall or whatever, that he's a really, really like personable dude. He's like really cool, and he'll sit and talk to you.
He's like one of those guys that really believes in that inspiration talk.
He's probably reading The Secret with Ryback.
No, he's not that bad, but he believes in what he say, and he feels vindicated with his position. And you can't help but respect somebody who just puts in the work and just really likes good people, man. Like, I saw him, he had this, he had the title with this, this dude who had like half an arm and like no, he was an amputee for like from his waist. I was like, that's kind of cool right there.
Mm-hmm. And just in case you guys forgot, nobody trains harder than Jinder Mahal.
Oh, God.
Nobody.
Stop that.
No, you could see it. I mean, even leg day, he goes hard on it, man. It don't look like it, but he does.
Okay. Don, is you ready to do your shout outs?
I'm done, man.
Okay. I only have one shout out, as usual. Lady Nikki out there. Hopefully our podcast will be back soon. So for episode number, what was that again, Donald?
142.
For 142, we are out of here.
Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar! Anything else?
Well, Mr. Heyman, I thought you and your client Brock Lesnar would be curious as to my ideas of who will challenge Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam for the Universal title.
To be blunt with you, Mr. Angle, I did not expect that we'd come out here live on Monday Night Raw to do a Monday Night Raw creative meeting leading into SummerSlam. We don't just volunteer our services for brainstorming in public. I know you're fitting into your new corporate role with your suit and your tie, and you have all these personal problems playing out on your phone. So we'll leave you to all these corporate decisions and your personal problems, and thank you for your time and bid you a pleasant good evening.
You got a lot of nerve coming out here after what you pulled last night.
Well, let me tell you what you can do now. You can thank me, because you didn't know how to handle Braun Strowman, and you're never around to. So if anything, I did you a favor. So maybe you owe me one, and maybe that one him at SummerSlam.
Oh, no, I like that. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
You gotta be kidding me. You actually think you deserve a shot at this? You don't deserve buddy.
Aren't we all living in a wonderful fantasy land? So I'll tell you what, how about I drag us all back down to reality?
Reality is I kicked your ass last night. That's the reality.
Oh, don't worry about that. Because sooner than later, I'm putting your to sleep.
know in your heart of hearts, if you're really honest with yourself, you didn't beat me last night. You escaped me.
Yes, I did. This is for real, Jim.
Hey, and you've never beaten me.
You'll never see Brock Lesnar in a title match again! Mark my words! Never! You're done! You're finished!
You see that? You see that? That's your advocate. That's the man who knows you better than anyone. Hey, you need to listen to your advocate. He's protecting you from me. Because in his heart, deep down, at the bottom of his soul, he knows I'm the one. I'm the man. Hey, you look at me when I'm talking to you, or we can straighten this out right now. He's the man that knows I got your number.
Hold up, you got his number?
All right, hold on, guys, hold on.
You showed the whole world that last night, right?
You're real mouthy for a man who got beat down by Braun Strowman last night.
Look at me. Now look at Braun if you can find him.
All right. Hold on. Guys. All right. I have an idea. Listen, just calm down. This is what we're going to do. Y'all had grueling matches last night. Next week, it's going to be Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. The winner of that match will become number one contender and challenge Brock Lesnar for the Universal title at SummerSlam. Now, if you guys go to blows right now, I will cancel that match. Did you hear me? All right, let's look forward to SummerSlam. Think about it, okay? All right.